Tabitha, welcome.
Thank you.
It's so good to be with you this morning.
Good to be with you. Good morning, Mills family.
And thank you also for being a healthcare worker. Appreciate it, especially in this season. Tabitha, why don't you share a little with the congregation? As you know, you've got these multiple hats that you wear. So one of them is home healthcare provider, and the other is leading this movement in Uganda. Why don't you give us a little brief intro into that, and then I'll get my slides ready that you can walk through kind of this new chapter in Pathways to Hope Africa.
Thank you, David. Good morning, Mills family. It's always a joy to talk to you, to update you what is going on. You have been my silent cheerleaders, and without you, I don't think I would have been able to do what I'm doing. There are people I talk to privately when I'm trying to accomplish something, and those are the results that you see today here. Since I joined Mills Church, I have been working in Uganda. I started working with women in prostitution. And all these years, I have been listening to their stories and also observing how charity is done in Africa and in Uganda. And I just couldn't understand why a lot of money was being poured in the country. People were becoming poorer. Mothers were losing their kids to sex trafficking. So I got a team together, and we sat down and we started thinking about what are the root causes of sex trafficking, prostitution, early child marriages, child labor. And we realized that kids leave their hometowns, their villages, to come to Kampala, and they end up becoming victims. So rather than helping them in Kampala after they have left all the way their villages to come to the city, we said we have to go back to the villages and offer them what they are looking for in the city, and that will reduce the traffic, reduce them coming from villages to the city. And that is when we started the Ubuntu African Smart Village. And that was to use the resources within the community to improve the resources within the community to create jobs, to create income, and also to create what a lot of people think they would get in the city.
Yeah, Tabitha, I'm excited for you to walk through explaining, you know, we'll say in English smart village, but the Ubuntu word, I've got a slide coming up, so we'll save that. But it's such a beautiful word and concept that I love what you're doing here. The next slide, maybe you can walk us through just what the mission of Pathways to Hope Africa is, and I'll kind of go slide by slide, and then you can either go off the actual words here, or if it's just a cue for conversation that you'd really like us to know about, that would be great. I'll tell Mills family, this is like the first presentation of kind of this stage in Pathways to Hope Africa. And I said, I would love for our church to be like your practice run on getting the word out about this. So Tabitha, like I feel honored, like we're on the like the pre-release party.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of our mission really is to break the chronic cycles of poverty. We have been inheriting poverty from our parents, and it looks like we are going to pass over poverty to our kids. And that is what was passed over to our parents, and they have also passed it over to us. And when you look at the facts, Uganda is one of the richest country in terms of resources in Africa. Uganda has the potential to feed Africa for 5 years, consecutive years, without going dry. So why are we inheriting poverty? So we decided to find a reason why we shouldn't be inheriting poverty and break the cycles. So our mission is to bring that out and help our parents, help us to pass over a better life to our children.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think this gets in your next slide is on vision. Can you say another word about that? I just love kind of what you're saying is to raise a new generation in sub-Saharan Africa equipped with educational opportunities, a vibrant economy, and a solid spiritual foundation that enables citizens to live to their full potential. I love that. And I think your next slide kind of gets into these, you know, the current reality. Talk to us about this.
A little bit back to the previous slide, all those things we are talking about, education, we have so many young educated boys and women who are in Uganda just seated without jobs. We have so many people who have farms. When they harvest food, it all rots in the garden. So why are we still poor? Why are there 8 million people living in poverty? One of the things that I have heard talking to a lot of my friends, especially here in the Western world, is once you tell them that I'm going to do something in Uganda, they say, how would you do that? That can never happen in Africa. And I have told them that US was like that one time, and somebody took a risk on the US. And it is time for us to take a risk on Uganda and Africans. So our goal is to take a risk to do the things that people have been afraid to do, because we have the resources, and change this number of 8 million living in poverty and saying 8 million living above poverty line.
Yeah, I thought these statistics were pretty interesting, that 85% live in rural areas and rely on subsistence farming to survive. So that's the majority of the country.
Yes.
Over 83% of people 18 to 35 cannot find jobs upon leaving school. Many migrate to urban areas to seek employment and become trapped in human trafficking and the sex trade. Despite efforts by the government, non-government organizations, private sector, and other organizations over the past 50 years, persistent poverty has remained. So this is the new Pathways to Hope initiative. What do you want to say on this slide, Tabitha?
Our new initiative is called the Ubuntu African Smart Village, and I'm pronouncing it the way David would, but in reality, it is Ubuntu in Uganda, depending on where you are too. Ubuntu is a model. We have approached three communities. We call them villages. We call them a village, but it's one big village, and it has over 75 small villages of maybe 200 people or 300 people here and there. And we are using what they have, the resources they have in the communities, to improve the resources. We are improving education. We are going to improve agriculture. An article recently came out, a UN report saying that our young men are running away from agriculture because of the hard labor involved. That means that they are still using the old primitive ways of farming. That is why you find that we cannot overcome the issue of food security, because nobody wants to get a hoe, they call it in Uganda, to go stand out there and start opening up the ground. We are also trying to help the kids learn about food in education. What is food? What is food security? So that the kids don't have to worry about food, because almost the kids have become the victims of lack of food in Uganda. When there's no food, the kid has not to skip school, go do work and try to feed the family. That's how they end up in prostitution. That's how they end up on the streets. We are also, our new initiative, we are also addressing healthcare. If we are going to deal with poverty, we have to deal with all the issues that contribute to poverty, which is healthcare, education, income generating, and security, meaning that proper livelihoods. They have to live in well-built houses that are not infected with mice or rat. So that is our new initiative, and we are using the resources within the communities. In the communities, as much as we look outside to get us started, but we are improving the resources because they are there. They just need to be improved.
Yeah, let me, I'll pause. There's a few comments here. And again, as we continue this morning, if you have any questions for Tabitha, go ahead and put them in the chat. The whole idea of looking upstream, it's beautiful. That is so smart. Tabitha, thank you for inviting us into greater understanding. Speaking for myself, I would not have known without your knowledge and insight. Thank you. From Donette. From Jason, looking upstream is exactly what comes to mind when I listen to this approach too. So a lot of excited amens, I think, in what you're doing. Your next slide is on this concept and this word. And so I first said Ubuntu. that's the white guy from Minnesota. So the first lesson is that the B is not pronounced the way we pronounce B. It's like a Ubuntu. So tell us about this word and the concept around it.
So when I started working on the Smart Village Initiative, every time I talked to people, they thought it is technology. It is something to do with computers. And I said, no, that's not what I mean. It is trying to bring the 20th century, the 21st century to the rural areas in Uganda. Then they asked me to give it an African word that described us as Africans. And the only thing I knew, because I'm one of the Bantu speaking people, the biggest group of people that speaks almost the same word from, as you see the map, from Cameroon all the way to South Africa. They are called the Bantu. It's over 400 languages, known languages, but in Uganda we have over 150 sub-dialects. So we have the same word. If you go in Cameroon, it is Ubuntu. You go in Johannesburg, it's Ubuntu, which means humanity. Are you human? And if you go deeper, it says I'm human because you are human. So Ubuntu Smart Village meant that we are human. We could express ourselves in these villages in unity, in compassion, in love. Africans are known, especially the Bantu, this Bantu-speaking people, are communal people. So if we are communal, we can create a Ubuntu smart village where our humanity comes out, where people can love each other, where people can live in peace with each other. So that is how the Ubuntu village, smart villages, came about. That is a word that can be identified by any person in Africa. Sub-Sahara Africa.
I love that so much. I love this word and how it translates. It's just really beautiful. Your next slide on implementation. Tell us what map we're looking at and what those different districts mean.
That map is a map of Uganda, and that is what Uganda is, with a population of 36, almost 40 million people. And we have chosen four districts to start our initiative. And our initiative, the reason why we have chosen four districts, each district has something to offer the other district if we are going to create a real smart concept. So for example, Kassanda, which is in central district in Uganda, they grow a lot of corn, which we call maize. And in Luwero, they do a lot of chickens. So we are going to raise chickens in Luwero, and Kassanda is going to provide the corn, which makes the chicken feed. And Buyende is one of the poorest district in the country. Since independence, they have barely sent a child to university because of lack of proper schools. And we took Buyende because we wanted to see how we can implement smart education. We are starting a teachers co-op, in that teachers don't need to live in Buyende. They are hired to go in there and improve schools for a day or two so that the kids in Buyende can receive the same education as the kids in Kampala. Nakivale is a refugee camp. It has a lot of young men and women from over 16, 17 countries. We want to see how people who don't speak the same language can work together to build a smart village. So all those four districts are codependent on each other. Each district has something it offers the other one. So we are going to have a co-op both in healthcare, education, and security, that we shall be training people to move around to improve each aspect of what we are trying to work on.
Wow. Yeah, thank you. So now, kind of your next slides you have a slide on each of these four focus areas, and that's kind of what you've been introducing. Tell us kind of, this talks about, I mean, you've got like the codependent areas of the country. Talk about the different local partners that are participating. Help us see that again. And you've got, you know, some international partners as well.
Yeah, one of the neat thing that has happened during this process of developing the smart village is there's so many young people and so many Ugandans who have just jumped in. If I tell you that it has been a journey of faith, you won't believe, because I have over 20 partners in Uganda. We have the agriculture sector. One of the first really thing that we are going to do is to train young men and women to operate tractors. So that if we are going to be successful in agriculture, we don't have to take two, 3 months just opening up a piece of land. And by the time you are done, the grass has grown back. So we are going to teach them how to use tractors so that we can open up as much land as we can to start the planting season. So we have partners in tractor training, tractor maintenance, and they have offered their service because they are excited, they want to do something. We have venture capital, which is helps with finding market for farmers' products, because it's not only corn that is going to be done, we are going to do vegetables, and these are responsible to find markets. We have people in construction, we have people in leadership, teaching, integrity. Uganda is a 98% Christian, but everybody is a Christian there, but it is among the top on the corrupt, on the list of corrupt countries. So those things just don't match up. So one of the things that we are going to emphasize in our communities is integrity, honest, and dignity to other people that deserve it. So we also have people in construction. We have Shiloh farmers. The gentleman who is in Shiloh farmers was a U.S. Fellow in agriculture in Ohio for 2 years. There are so many. We have people, SAS clinic in healthcare. We are trying to use cell phones to treat people in the villages who cannot afford transport to come to receive health care for diseases like diabetics, high blood pressure, alcoholism, because they are on the rise, and people just stay at home. They don't understand what to do. So we are also trying to negotiate a partnership with MTN and Airtel, the cell phone providers, the biggest cell phone providers in Uganda, to help us reduce the costs of airtime to these people. And even with past COVID, we can no longer sit people in groups and train them as we used to do. So we are going to be doing the same thing David is doing, smart Facebook training. So we have to talk to those phone companies to help. A person will sit in their house or under the tree and just do the training at home. We have here in the States, we have partnered with Restore Sight, an organization that donates reading glasses. Actually, we just shipped, they just donated 10,000 reading glasses. And that was great because a lot of people we are working with cannot see. We are giving them phones, but they can't see. So with the Restoring Sight, we give them glasses so that they can read and see what we are teaching them on their phones. Here in the US also, we are partnering with professors from the University of UC California, UC Davis, and they are specialists in crop and poultry. So, and I'm still looking for more partners because we have to touch every aspect of poverty. We can't just concentrate on one thing.
Yeah, it's amazing. Sarah's kind of capturing what's going through my mind of the amount of things you are thinking through and planning is mind blowing. I'm inspired by your hope and planning in the face of so many different levels of things to deal with. I love how you said it is time to take a risk on Africa, on the Bantu people. Thanks.
Bantu actually means people. So Bantu people, you are just repeating yourself. So when you say Bantu, you don't say people.
That's redundant. Yes. Okay. Bantu. Take a risk on Bantu. Yeah.
Yes.
I love it. Well, then, so the next slides, I think, because, I mean, that was like a whole big picture. You've got four slides coming up that kind of have each of those four areas, so you'll be able to say a little more about each of these major departments, kind of. So talk about smart industry.
So smart industry, our first Our first activity that we are going to be involved in is poultry and fish farming. And that is because of very low protein intake in Uganda, especially for people who are now dealing with very high numbers. Actually, I was reading an article that non-commune diseases that are not, how do I say it? Diseases like diabetics, diseases like hypertension are killing 85% of the people because of poor dieting. So Smart Industry is going to help them start learning also to eat better. We are going to do poultry. We are starting our own hatchery rather than buying chicken from other people. We are starting our own feed mill. We are also starting up our own food packaging. So that during the non-harvest season, people don't have to worry where do I get my next meal because we have packaged this food. And we are also going to teach them how to eat packaged food. I'm here, I have been in the US for almost 20 years, but I still can't eat food in the tins because that's not how I grew up. So we are going to teach them that the world is changing. You can still package food and eat it out of the tin, it is the same food. That will cause us to partner with bigger organizations or industries that can help us maybe put a plant in one of the communities in Uganda to help us with the packaging.
Yeah, wow. Well, and tell us a little bit, it was interesting what you've learned already through poultry farming and some of the breakdowns in that system of almost like purposely having bad feed to then support the antibiotic market, like some of that lack of integrity that you've had to confront why you're developing some of these systems.
So, working with poultry a few years ago taught me so much, and it was very heartbreaking because people invest in their hard-earned money, making sure that they can get out so much. But the manufacturers of food just decide to package bad food. Either sometimes they put too much sand. The manufacturers of vaccines, instead of buying vaccine, you are buying water. You take to vaccinate a chicken, you are just vaccinating water, and people end up losing. And the reason why they do that is because they want people to keep going back. Excuse me. So they keep going back. So that's the reason why we are starting our integrated poultry farm, which means that we have our own feed, we have our own vaccine, which is being developed by the University of California. Actually, we have our own app that any farmer, wherever they are, and they are confused, they can go to the app. And that brings us to what we are starting, the Innovation Center. The Innovation Center, which is going to be the center of everything we do, an activity. We use Ugandan kids to come up with Ugandan solutions based on Ugandans' problems. We don't want to look outside. So we are also appreciating, Smart Industries appreciating our indigenous knowledge and bringing it together with the Western knowledge so that people are not lost, help them to transition from what it was, and it's not very good, but it can transition to what it is right now. So we talk about, our parents are going to talk about how we used to feed chicken when we were growing up, but we want also to bring them to how we can feed chicken better and what needs to be done. We are also dealing with clean water. Nowadays, there have been so many inventions of how to purify water. We are trying to avoid, we are in the villages that we are going to work in, we are trying to see that nobody walks more than 12 minutes to go get water. And if possible, with the smart housing infrastructure, we want to get water to every house. Because in Uganda, the water table is very close, people can get water anywhere they want.
Yeah, talk about who's you have some partners traveling this year to help with water purification. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I have about five partners traveling with me, including my granddaughter, who is also another partner, Elion. So actually four are coming from the University of California. One is a water scientist who is going to help us see how we can get water to different homes without traveling, kids traveling distances. Her husband is the poultry scientist who has been working with poultry. He's trying to get us connected to one of the biggest poultry providers, Highline, so that they can give us a license, a certificate of using their products in Uganda. We have another one who is a crop scientist, crop and pest scientist. He's coming with his wife and kids. He's going to help us. He's very much interested in teaching kids agriculture in physics, English, teaching them English through agriculture, teaching them math through agriculture. We have another one who is also an engineer, agro engineer, who will help us build poultry houses and also teach us to build low-cost housing for the communities. Then me and my granddaughter, I don't know what she's going to do, but she will be going with me for the first time to Uganda.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So the next area is secure lives. What else do you want to say on this? You've touched on some of them, but what financial security through entrepreneurial and financial management education? I don't think you've said anything about that yet.
Yeah, one of the things that we have seen is when microfinancing started, we thought that it was going to change. It was a game changer in poverty. But what we realized was that it created more division than harmony in a lot of villages. And also we lost a lot of people because they worried about paying back money they had borrowed. As I said before, that we are a community that works together. A lot of people are not businessmen, so you come and give someone $100, they wouldn't know what to do. And on the other hand, people used to do the same business. You give me $100, you give Jane $100. We are all selling bananas, and we have the same customers. So security, we are creating cooperatives, co-ops, housing co-ops, agricultural co-ops, that these people, the only thing they have to worry about is to go to your farm and make sure that you produce the yield, and we shall deal with the rest. So they work together, they save together, and they profit together. They don't have to worry about bookkeeping, they don't have to worry about market. All they have to worry is to make their village a better place for their kids.
Yeah, I was just blown away by that insight, Tabitha, because we hear so much about microfinancing being like the silver bullet. So that insight of profit sharing and being a community together and not just kind of taking a Western capitalistic idea and saying that's gonna what's gonna work here. I just think that is incredibly marvelous. It's, amazing. Yeah. So we have strong community. Anything else you want to say on this? Maybe talk about the education center, like that land and building that was donated for you all. How does that work into your model?
So as I was working on the smart village, I was looking around to people who are the people that I can partner with. And early in the 80s, there was one of the best school in the country that any kid wanted to go to, and I really wanted to go to that school, but my father was so poor that he couldn't afford taking me to that school. And 40 years later, the school is not operating, and I meet the young man whose father owned the school, and I didn't even know. We started talking, and he says, "I want to give you something." I said, "What?" I said, he said, "I'm giving you the school. I'm giving it to your organization." I said, "What?" He said, "I'm giving you the whole school." I said, "The school that I really wanted to go to, you are telling me that my organization is going to own it?" He said, "Yeah." So the school sits on almost 20,000 acres of land. So he gave us 250 acres of the land to use as our center of training. All these things we are saying, we cannot be successful without also training people. So we have a school campus that is already built, but it needs renovation. And we have his farm where we can do all the practices that we want. And that's where the hatchery is going to sit. And the feed analysis lab is going to be. Most of our activities are going to be centered there because there's big enough land to demonstrate. We have a lake that sits on, I think, 40 acres of land. So we are going to teach people new methods of farming. For example, like people smoke fish using wood. We are trying to find using kids in Uganda to innovate a solar smoker so that they don't have to use smoke, because it's causing lung diseases. So we have this big piece of land, 200 acres, and boy, one day I think the Mills Church will board a plane and we just go for a vacation there. There is a beach, I promise.
I love it. Well, I look forward to being able to travel to Uganda with you again, because it's some of my favorite memories, and participating in your work is going to be fantastic. So as we close here this morning, I like this last slide of just kind of what makes things, what makes this different. And I know I think the newest thing that I took away from this last time was the communal profit sharing versus just kind of raising up individual entrepreneurs through independent loans. That is really remarkable. Anything else you want to say in closing here on kind of what you see as these major differences in what you're trying to do?
Yeah, I want to say that what makes us different is that our work is heavily focused on the younger generation that will continue the work. They are doing something to save their lives. What makes us different is that we are not taking Americans or people from other countries to come and help us. We are developing our own people. And the reason why a lot of organizations have not survived past 10, 15 years is because the people there go for work. And once their work is done, they leave. And that's the end of their work. Here we are dealing with people who are dealing with their lives, and their lives have to go on. So that is what makes us different, that we are dealing with our own lives and we have to put in all what it takes to make this whole thing survive.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love this, your ongoing education resources and how you're thinking about that, where it's like the leadership and the training is happening on the ground there. So people, you know, they're not having to leave the country to, you know, go to school. it's like that's all happening with your indigenous leaders as well. I think that's amazing. Well, I'll pause if anyone has any questions. I think that's Tabitha, thanks for this. And I know Rachel Holmes helped put the slideshow together, so it's nice having Mills members on your team. So Rachel, thank you. Tabitha, thanks for getting your feet wet with us in this presentation. We love you and love supporting you. So again, Mills family, each Advent season, we pick one of our partners to support in a specific way. So I encourage you to think over the next several weeks about a specific financial gift for this Advent season. Your Advent offering this year will 100% of it will go to Pathways to Hope Africa. And this is a big year in launching this project. So all those dollars are really going to be significant and helpful.
Thank you, Mills family.
Yeah, Tabitha, it's a joy doing life in church with you. Thank you so much, and for